Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Warriors Podcast, the comic book club. We read different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
We sure do.
We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is The Boy Wonder. We got Back Matter Matters in the Polis, but we start with the news.
Do you think Wonder Man was Wonder Boy at one point?
I think he just was born a man.
He was born a man.
Yeah.
He's like Shazam. He just turned into one.
Yeah. Or maybe like he only had powers as an adult.
Have there actually been any superheroes that have rebranded to man after not being a boy anymore? And it stuck?
Superboy?
Did he turn into Superman though?
Yeah. I mean,
canonically.
Yeah, the one that we have now or whatever. What's the name?
The one that we have now?
Superman? The Superboy who's now a man.
John Kent?
John Kent. Yeah, he's like Superman now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, he's like, they're going to be a beast man. Or
yeah, exactly. Like, how long is he just boy before it becomes weird?
Maybe it's like 18 or something.
Beast adult.
All right, good bit. And what news you got?
What news do I got? Hold on, sorry. I'm unprepared.
Archie versus the Terminator.
Whoa, what?
Archie versus the Terminator.
Oh, shit, this is new. Dude, yes, that's a great idea.
No, it's not.
That's one of the IPs I haven't done yet, Daniel.
Rory McConville and Stephen Butler. We don't know anything else, but it's coming, apparently, at some point.
I thought you were talking about the different Archie news.
The Afterlife with Archie on Disney Plus. Afterlife
with Archie, Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Coming Halloween 2027.
That's
so they're bringing cool. back the Riverdale people? Is that what's going on?
I hope not.
Why?
But I guess I would.
You didn't even watch that show. You don't even know if he's a good Archie or not.
I saw a clip and it was ridiculous.
It is a ridiculous show. But it was on like the CW or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So then why is it going to Disney Plus?
Because Disney owns everything now.
They probably do own it. It's the CW now. But that could be fun. Even if you don't like them, a lot of them are going to get killed.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
You think they'll do the dog? I don't think they'll do the dog.
I think they probably will.
They don't have the balls to do that.
Maybe. Would you be upset if they didn't kill the dog, Nathan?
I would be upset.
Because you love when dogs die.
If they didn't have a dog at all.
Yeah. What's that dog's name?
I don't know. we heard that 6 years ago now.
Maybe so. He's a canonically important dog in Archie, you know?
He could be. I don't know.
He's like the guy.
We haven't read a regular Archie at all.
Who cares?
Gives a shit.
Archie dog. Oh, hot dog.
Oh, good name.
It's like Jughead's dog.
Yeah.
Hot dog. Yep. That is a good one.
Daniel, there's a new Nova series coming out, but for some reason he's trying to get the Ten Rings.
Return of the Ring. Is he actually?
It's something about the Ten Rings. The Ten Rings of Power are back in the Marvel Universe this October, and Sam Alexander is the first hero standing between them and a dangerous new wielder.
Maybe it's got a Kree like origin or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Nova.
Were the Ten Rings a thing before the Shang-Chi movie?
Well, there was like the terrorist group and from Iron Man. They were called the Ten Rings.
And then they just made some rings?
I don't know if they did. I think it was just a coincidence.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
It's going to be written by Josh Trujillo, who does Planet of the Apes versus Fantastic Four, with artwork by Rafael Lurero, who does Dazzler. And that is going to launch soon in October.
Good month.
Good month. Did you know that October is Hispanic and Latin American Heritage Month?
No.
I think that's why they're releasing this.
Is his name like Sam Alexander?
That's the kid one, yeah.
That's who's in this one, right?
Yeah.
Is that a Mexican name?
That's a Mexican dude.
Is it a Mexican name, though?
Who are you to say if whether it's a Mexican? Alexander?
Yeah.
I think so.
Me, as Mexican, half Mexican, I know some... Mexican names.
You can
never met half a brown, of the names. Never met like, a brown dude. Last name Alexander. You know.
But you've met a brown dude named Alex. First name.
That's super common.
So then, what? What's that? Why is it so crazy? It's a last name.
It's just different. There's no Z in it. Anyway, that's cool. Are you gonna buy that?
I'll check it out.
October 14th.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since the Nova thing has happened.
Yeah, it has been.
Did you buy the last Nova thing?
No.
Mm. Are
you it looked like bullshit.
Are you like
this one kind of looks like bullshit too, but I don't know.
I feel like you had kind of like a big three of characters that you were super into, with Nova being one of them.
I still Nova.
Is that still the case? Or are you like kind of like not as much?
From Marvel?
Yeah.
It's probably still Iron Fist. But I've kind of fallen off of Moon Knight and Nova, so I don't know what my other two big three would be.
It's not even probably still Moon Knight.
And then I don't know who else. I don't know who would be number three right now.
I see so many like Moon Knight omnibuses on the streams that I watch.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
I just don't like this last run, which sucks because it feels like a lot of people really like it. So maybe I should give him another chance.
Is it Jed McKay or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like what he was doing, at least in the beginning. I tried.
That means you're a true fan, Nathan.
Maybe it does.
Because you care.
Because I was like, Jeff Lemire, Greg Smallwood, are you shitting me? How are we going to top this?
Before that,
it was Bendis and Maleev. Are you shitting me?
Are there other runs that you haven't read that you know are good? Like,
that I haven't people read? I mean, I haven't read all of the Bill Sienkiewicz stuff, but I've read some of it.
People like that?
It's like OG. I think that's a lot of...
Like original kind of first appearance stuff?
No, not that. That's earlier.
By like 90s or whatever?
Yeah. Bill Sienkiewicz was on it, I think, in the 90s.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. And he's kind of... Or maybe he was always kind of like that, but he's got some cool art in there that's like early.
Nathan, you like Christian Ward?
Oh, and Max Landis did some Moon Knight, and I thought that was shit. He did the Moon Knight after...
Who's Max Landis?
He's like some singer for a band, and he just got Moon Knight for some reason.
That's Max Bemis.
I'm pretty sure there's a Max Landis.
Who's also a singer of a band? Max Bemis is a singer of Say Anything.
Who's the one that... That might be the one then. Hold on.
Who did The Worst X-Men or whatever?
Max Bemis. Let me see if that is the one. Yeah. It is Max Bemis. Max Landis is the guy that writes movies, I think.
Yeah, that sounds
good. Anyway, Max Bemis did some Moon Knight, and I didn't think it was very good. And that was after
I was looking one at of the ones like, I like. Like video game comics for like a potential like theme month.
Mm.
And Max Bemis did a Centipede comic about like the phone game Centipede. Really? Yeah. And I thought that was funny.
That sounds good.
Does it?
Yeah, I think so. He's okay. Trying to just get his Apple, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then like you get in your own way sometimes.
From Atari. Yeah. Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Nathan, you like Christian Ward?
I do.
He signed a 3-book deal with Oni Press.
Wow.
So for his original stuff.
3 different books?
3 of them.
Not just 3 issues?
3 different books, I think.
Okay, cool.
Probably OGNs or something. Maybe not.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Oni Press exclusive, huh?
Yeah.
You don't see those often.
Probably never. Other than like Brian Lee O'Malley. No, he does Snout Girl on Image. So anyway. Nathan.
What?
Did you read that ROM issue?
No, not yet.
Oh, you have it though.
I have it.
Well, if you don't have it. They're reprinting it. Yeah.
And what? I tried understanding it.
In paper.
I know. I know it's on paper, but just by itself, they're shipping it as a single issue?
Yeah, it's like a one-shot. Or it's called like a special or whatever.
Okay. But it's just that issue.
It's a one-shot, yeah.
Oh, well, that's good that they did that. I tried reading it.
Christian
War
variant.
Cool. Yeah,
there's going to be like variants and stuff.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I whatever article I was reading made it confusing. I thought it was supposed to be like a reprinted thing and it was going to be on the back of like Mask One or something like that.
Nah.
I think I'm wrong though, because I read it and I was like, maybe I'm like...
Same with that Mask Origins issue that came out. But
yeah, but that's cool that they're reprinting it.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Coming August 26th. So
they felt bad that people couldn't get their ROM fixed.
If you paid $20 for ROM, you know...
Like Daniel.
you got the foil at least, but
you at least succeeded in
you'll
the hunt.
Know
you know you've got
real collectors will know what the real one is.
Yeah, you know you've got the chops to go on the hunt.
Yeah,
and find a ROM.
Maybe like DCKO.
I haven't finished it yet.
Well,
is it coming back?
Better.
DCKO 2?
It's coming back as a mobile fighter game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So.
Is Homelander going to be in it?
I don't think so. That'd be crazy.
Is Sam from Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, Rite of Spring going to be in there?
Just looks like DC characters. So, yeah, I saw a video about that. I don't know when it comes out. Mm. I just thought it was funny.
It's like a third fighting game that'll have like DC superheroes in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just make Injustice 3, you know?
Yeah, they have Injustice. They had that Mortal Kombat vs. DC. They had Multiverses for a little bit, but then they canceled that. Remember that?
Yeah.
And Black Adam was like a big character in there because that was when they were trying to get Black Adam to take over everything.
Did they shut down that server?
They shut down the whole game. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
They even had like Multiverses, like, comics, you know.
I know they were really pushing it. They're like, this is gonna be the new platform fighter, and it's not.
Yeah,
no one's gonna be Super Smash Bros.
Any other Mario any other news from you? Or
no, I got nothing.
Classic Punisher Showdowns, Nathan. A bunch of one shots where Punisher fights people. He's gonna fight Black Widow, Wolverine, Winter Soldier, all these written by Tom Waltz and various artists.
Cool.
Starting October 21st.
Who do you want Punisher to fight? Galactus.
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck is a great pun. He's like just going duck hunting.
Yeah.
He's just like on vacation trying to relax. And then Howard the Duck. Because how can Howard fly?
No.
Can ducks fly? They can. Yes. Okay. Yeah, because of open season.
Yeah, that movie? That's when they fly.
Yeah. I have that scene burned in my mind where they're flying in formation and they get shot down and it sounds like a plane crashing.
Good movie.
There's funny shit in that movie.
That's like the funniest scene.
Yeah. And they have PTSD. Smoking. Yeah, they're like smoking as they're going down. And like the two crazy surviving ducks have like PTSD and so they're crazy. They watch their friends die and so they're crazy, Daniel.
Migration. Good
stuff. I want Punisher to fight
Dupe
is a good one too. Doctor Strange, I think, would be kind of fun. There was an issue where they teamed up.
Magic Bullets.
Yeah,
I remember.
I liked it.
I have it.
I do too, and I liked it, and I read it.
Batman Nightfall, the animated movie, got a.
Oh yeah, did you watch
trailer?
That?
No,
dude. The voice acting seems so bad.
Dude, the dude who plays Nacho,
I know,
is Bane.
He is.
Which is, I'm like, is that Nacho?
No, well, like, maybe like the editing of the voice acting is weird.
I think I listened to the teaser thing and it didn't seem that weird to me.
No. Watch it again.
I'm not gonna.
Don't watch it.
I'm gonna buy it digitally.
Maybe I was like a little bit interested in this because of Nacho. And then I watched the trailer. I'm like, I'm never gonna ever watch this.
Never ever watch
never,
it.
Never ever. You couldn't break my back or make me watch it.
What if I told you it's good?
Then maybe.
Okay. I appreciate
it. It just seemed like very weird. Like I don't even like listen for that kind of stuff when I'm watching a trailer. I'm just like, oh yeah, there's Batman, there's Bane. He puts the venom in.
So is it Nacho's voice on Bane? That's no, weird to you?
No, it's both Batman and Nacho, and maybe it's just the direction of it that's just super choppy. Mm. But like they were fighting and Batman would like get punched in the wall and he'd be like, ugh. Like it's like stuff like that. It's very pun like
when you there no
yeah just some about it is very, like it sticks out.
Anyway, that comes out August 25th.
Yeah, and they're doing two of those, I think, right?
I think they're doing three in total.
Whoa.
So
I don't think I'll ever read Nightfall.
Well, for the show, Nathan,
are we gonna do it? Yeah. All of it?
Don't the fuck all of it?
Well, to the first, well, the first part of it is like 20 issues or something, isn't it?
There's trades. What do you mean we're first part of it?
But he doesn't even get his back blown out. And
you want to skip to the back blown out?
I want to skip to the back when he gets his shit rocked and his back's blown out.
You want to see him get cracked, dude?
I want to see him get his back cracked. I want his back shot trade.
Do you want me to look up?
Yeah. When does look up
fucking, oh my god, hold on.
Look up Batman backshots, rule 34.
Stop putting that out there.
Oh, apparently it's in volume 1, Broken Bat.
Yeah, you big baby.
Okay, cool. All right, we can read it.
We can.
We can. Isn't that Chuck Dixon?
Yeah, and Doug Mensch.
Oh, cool.
Well, hold on. I guess that would be like 10 issues.
I'll think about it.
So maybe not. I don't know. I think I remember
the trade. Depends on how long it is.
Jesus. Like 300 pages. The Broken Bat, 288. That seems like a lot, doesn't it?
That does seem like a lot.
I mean, we can...
We'll see. We can read the first five. We read until Batman gets his back blown out.
Is that, did you Google that part?
Yeah, it's issue 497.
Okay, so that's like the sixth issue.
Okay, we can do that.
Seventh issue. And then there's like some issues after that.
Yeah.
In Detective Comics.
That's probably some bullshit. Why is the whole thing super long? How old is it? Or how long is it? That whole arc? Nightfall?
I don't know, dude. It's got like three omnibuses.
Holy shit.
But I think they probably like include like spin-off stuff because it's like Vengeance of Bane, Shadow of the Bat.
Dude, it's over 100 issues.
What?
The whole saga.
That's crazy. Did you Google that?
I did. There's a prelude to Nightfall, Nightfall, Night Quest, Night's End, and Aftermath.
I mean, I guess Azrael's Batman.
But I think this includes like Catwoman 8 and 9 and Robin.
Robin, yeah.
So maybe the Detective Comics and Batman piece of it. Did you know Detective Comics is on 1,111 this week? I remember 1,000 like not too long ago.
Yeah, I didn't even
I guess read it would have been nearly 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Anyway, what book did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Boy Wonder by Junie Ba and others.
Chris O'Halloran.
And Chris O'Halloran on colors, and Aditya Bidikar is the letterer. But Junie Ba is a writer artist.
That guy is writing right now.
Is he?
Aditya Bidikar. Yeah. Have you heard of the Image comic? It's called like In Your Skin or something?
Nope.
Wow, it's a horror comic. We'll probably read it next year, but he's writing that and it seems to be doing pretty good.
That seems cool. But this is nominated this year, or was it nominated last year?
It might have been nominated last year.
It was definitely nominated at some point. I think it was last year. I couldn't remember if it was this year or last year.
Figure it out. But it didn't win because they would have said that somewhere.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
32-page issues.
Mm-hmm.
This is Black Label?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is. That was
doesn't like need to be, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe it's just because it was like Elseworlds or something. They're just calling everything Black Label.
It might have been in that time, yeah, because I think at one point they were trying to just pivot and make all Elseworlds things Black Label.
Yeah, but it's not like it's like brutal or like,
yeah,
not your granddad's Boy Wonder.
Don't give it to your kids.
Yeah,
he was nominated for Best Writer Artist.
Oh, cool.
For the Boy Wonder.
Who won?
And Monkey Meat Summer Batch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who won.
That was 2005? What? 2025?
Yeah. It might have been... Didn't Jesse Lonergan win for Drome?
No, it's this year, Nathan.
Wait, is he nominated this year?
Jesse Lonergan?
Let me go back to the front. No, wait. He's nominated this year for this.
Is he?
Yeah. Junie Ba, Boy Wonder... The Fable of Irkling Woods and Monkey Meat Summer Batch.
Okay.
Those are the things he's nominated for. He's going up against Jamal Campbell on Zatanna, Jesse Lonergan on Drome, and then three others, Cheng Shang, Linnea Sturt, and Kazumi.
Well, it's a valiant effort.
I'm sorry, Junie, but you're not beating my boy Jesse.
What did you think of this?
I thought it was good. It's like a interesting perspective of a read, and they kind of are retelling sort of the Robin mythos in this almost as if it's like a fable sort of a way, because it's somebody like recapping Damian Wayne's story. But I think it does a really good job of like categorizing and defining the different Robins throughout, you know, the Batman's lifetime, at least the four like main ones.
Yeah.
And I think he's really good at it. And I think Judy does a great job with the angsty, angry Damian. He does like a really good job visually drawing that and like with Damian's voice. But I think this is also a really good origin just for Damian, because I don't think I've ever read a Damian origin necessarily. I just kind of know what he's about. I know that he's like the son of Talia and stuff, but I don't think I ever read his, when that would have been introduced. Is that Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I maybe...
Well, I don't know about Frank Quitely, but...
Or at least Grant Morrison.
I think the Morrison run, yeah. The... I read like this like Robin like solo series, and I always would jump back and stuff like that. So I was kind of... I knew some of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like you basically...
I knew everything that was in this, but I'd never heard it told in like a fashion that was like this. Because it is kind of interesting. It really starts when Damian leaves, what is it, Nanda Parbat or whatever that Ra's al Ghul's in with the League of Shadows or whatever. It starts when he like just makes it to Gotham and he's trying to prove himself, and so he kills somebody.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, oh, I forgot to tell you.
He's like, dude, what did you do? What the
freak? And so it's like, I like this specific period about him trying to find where he fits in when there's three other Robins that have done pretty well for themselves a little bit.
Yeah, he's not on the Teen Titans yet. Yeah, the Super Sons.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
He's brand new.
So I think this is cool.
And it's good, like, kind of entry point to kind of learn about, like, some Robins, like, in its current continuity.
Mm-hmm.
I love the style.
The style's so good.
You know, like, the style is, like, not something we see in, like, the big two very often, you know? But I'm glad, like, he got a shot to do this.
It feels kind of like Samurai Jack.
Kind of Samurai Jack. Yeah, there's, like, a Samurai Jack villain in this for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And
it seems like at times he draws... Because it's like somebody recapping a story, sometimes it feels like some stuff feels like hieroglyphic almost.
Yeah.
And there's like the kind of style alludes itself to that.
It kind of gives like a little YA too.
Yeah.
Or like kind of a kids comic in a way, just because it's like a friendly style, even though people are getting like decapitated and stuff. But
yeah, there's some heads getting cut off. But yeah, I would agree with that. And I think he's really good at figuring out when to let like a scene breathe and just have it be like him going crazy on the page without a bunch of just like Damian thinking about stuff or whatever. It's like him fighting.
Yeah.
There's a really good pacing when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah. It was a pretty enjoyable read.
Yeah. I can see why people like it so much.
Do you remember Chalk Zone?
Nope.
It was like a cartoon back in the day.
There's a guy with a red hat. Republican kid.
A what?
A Republican kid.
A Republican.
He's got a green jacket.
Green jacket.
I swear to God, he has a green jacket and a red hat, and Chalk Zone, and pink chalk. What am I thinking of?
Nothing about a jacket, but there's a character called Snap.
He's a redhead.
Who is like a character that is drawn with chalk, and I think he comes alive or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
This art style and seeing Damian in this style reminds me of that character a lot for some reason. It took me a hot minute to figure out what that show was.
What a deep cut.
But Snap from Chalk Zone, look it up. That's what it made me think of.
Mm-hmm.
Is that ringing any bells for you?
I'm looking it up. Yeah, I've seen this. I remember...
I don't think we watched it a lot, but it was like around.
Wasn't there like a Cartoon Network Flash game or something with these characters on it?
There's a Cartoon Network Flash game for every show. So
God, bring back Flash. Why do we ever stop that?
Viruses, I think.
That's fine.
Just have a virus computer.
I think the world started going downhill when we got rid of Flash games.
Are they like officially gone? Or
yeah, you can't like download Adobe Flash or anything anymore. Or you can't like, it's not.
Did you have to have that downloaded to play
it? It's not like a downloaded thing, but it's not something that browser engines like run, I guess. Or it's not something that Adobe supports anymore. There's something like that. You can't like go back to like...
CartoonNetwork.com and play games.
And yeah, exactly.
Damn.
It's not a thing anymore. But are there
emulators?
There are archival emulator websites for some of them.
No, I need a physical version.
I know. I need the physical internet page.
Can they put it on my iPad?
And now there's probably, yeah, now there's probably a bunch of ads.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Issue one.
Issue one. So it starts off with a bank robber having to unexpectedly take a hostage after the robbery went wrong. And so they're kind of up in this warehouse or something. And
Cliff Chang variant. So good.
Oh,
he doesn't do enough.
He's so good. They have a couple really good variants from people that don't do enough.
Yeah.
But the hostage tells the story of the boy Wonder, who's a grandchild of a demon king, which is Ra's al Ghul, and brought to Gotham to meet his father slash king, which is Batman. And on their first outing, the prince, who's Damian, beheads a common thief. And Batman is disappointed and tells him to stay in the manor while he has to leave Gotham for some reason. And so Damian, desperate to prove himself, hears about people disappearing. So he goes to go solve that. And he runs into Nightwing and Batgirl, who are already there. And the demons are actually Clayface, who's morphing into like little demon things. And so Nightwing and Batgirl handle it. And they have a bunch of compassion and happiness and stuff with them. And Damian learns something from that. And he's like, but he's also like, this is bullshit. And so he leaves and he witnesses an old lady get abducted by a for real bird demon. And that's the first issue.
I like the decision to keep Batman mostly a silhouette.
Yeah.
In this
issue. I think it's cool. He always looks cool in silhouette, and it,
they have his eyes poking out, but
yeah, they got the eyes.
They kind of save him for the end, mm-hmm. you know, which I think is works well.
Yeah. I like just how distinct he draws all of the like Robin iterations, you know? And mm-hmm. I think he draws he's very good at drawing like a compassionate Nightwing that seems to be having like a pretty good time with Batgirl.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. Cause Damian's all like brooding and serious about it. Cause that's all he's known. He's been training with like ninjas his whole life and a demon literally. And so and then he like sees Nightwing and Batgirl just like kind of having a good time. And he's like, I really like this page where he genuinely like reflects on that and uses that to help the old lady. And then when the old lady's like, oh, so nice, good to have people like you, he's like, yes.
He
like,
yeah, that's such a good page.
Does like the cutest little like, fuck yeah, I did it. And I'm like, this guy fucking gets it, dude. Junior Bob. So that was cool. There's also in like the folktale storytelling way, they retell all of the Robin stories. And there's this really cool like reference panel to Batman Year One.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, he really got that Mazzucchelli. Like, he's got the Mazzucchelli feel in there.
Yeah, totally. So I guess this isn't in continuity, but nah. Is there a continuity that you know where Barbara Gordon and Nightwing have like baby?
Yeah. Oh, baby?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about a baby.
He's like, you remember to buy the baby formula? Question mark.
Oh, yeah. They do have a baby.
He says,
yeah.
Yep. And money for the sitter. Awesome. Thanks, honey. You know, so I'm like,
what the hell is a baby name?
Yeah.
Not even be a good dad, I think.
Yeah, totally. But
you like, think they're raising him in Bloodhaven?
Maybe the nice part of Bloodhaven.
Maybe there's a good rich part or something.
Yeah. Uptown.
Yeah. So the person that he kills, he like beheads this like common thief, which is like obviously pretty extreme retaliation for a thief that probably was dealt a pretty bad hand. There's a lot of like emphasis on trying to lead with empathy when, you know, dealing with like these criminals, which I think is a good message overall. But this thief is like haunting Damian throughout the book. And the way that he draws that is just like a ghost that's like carrying its own head. Like this dude carrying his own head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a cool visual.
There's a bit where like the demon in the warehouse is big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Damian goes and like kicks it in the face. And there's like the sound effect splat. And the next panel, it's like, splat, like with a question mark.
He's like,
what the why would a demon, demon go splat? Because it's Clayface.
Yeah, he's like, why was that the noise?
Yeah,
it seems like Clayface was multiple demons. Can he just like cut off his arm and tell it to go do things?
Maybe.
That's some new Clayface lore I didn't know about. I always thought he was just one guy. And if you cut off that guy's arm, it's like, why did his arm turn into clay? And then it's like, oh my god, it's Clayface.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a part where Damian calls Nightwing like a dick in a way, because he's like, I don't remember asking your opinion,
dick.
And I'm like
puts a little stank on that one.
Yeah, I don't know if like the stank's in my head or if like it's, I don't know if it's bold,
intentional. I think it's supposed to be used as both.
Yeah, but they get away with it.
They do get away with it. It's like in the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah,
where Robin's like, "Ed, my friends call me Dick," and he's like, "Well, kids can be cruel."
You never see Nightwing with like the backpack for the sticks, you know?
Do I? Are you asking if I've ever
I'm
seen
I'm just
that?
Like saying.
Yeah, you don't really see that often. It's normally just like you keep it clean.
I'm like, what's he got back there?
Yeah.
I thought it was like the more than Blue Beetle thing or something. Yeah.
He's got the scarab on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it does look a little weird when you're not expecting it.
Totally.
But then like, where else is he going to put him?
Yeah.
So I like that he has a little pouch.
And
weren't we going to get a Nightwing movie at some point?
Yeah, I think the dude who directed Lego Batman was going to direct it way back when. There was never any casting announcement, but that was a thing. I like how Junie Ba does some like of the lettering.
Yeah.
You know, like this old lady screaming, ah.
Really I don't good. Think he does the lettering.
It's really good. Ah, this?
I mean, he probably did that.
It's in the art.
No, that's the lettering.
All right, what about this one?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know when like the artist will do like the lettering because it's part of the page.
I think or the lettering just is just like the bubbles. And then...
No, it's definitely the big onomatopoeias as well. So I think this is, I think you're trying to.
I don't know, man.
To give Junie Ba the valor of Aditya Bidikar.
Should we ask him?
Is he going?
No, just Twitter.
Tag him on Twitter.
Like, did you do this?
You do this shit or is this Judy? Tell me. Yeah.
Can you highlight everything
I got
$5
on this. Yeah, can you highlight everything on this page that you contributed to? Show me the files. Anyway, issue 2. The bank robber and hostages names are Joe, who's the bank robber, and Merle, who's the hostage. Good name. Damian finds Red Hood because he's like, I need your help to hunt the bird demon that I saw. And initially there's some tension, but Red Hood agrees because he doesn't want Damian to go out and hurt himself. And while looking around Gotham, the bird demon named Rock finds them, and he's like in human form, so he can change to human form. And he manages to put spells on both of them. And I think it's because they've both been related to like the Lazarus Pit or something. And so he's able to do some like Lazarus magic on them. And he has like Red Hood just kind of shoot his gun randomly. It hits Damian. Rock escapes, but they just patch up Damian and it's all good to go. And he just kind of goes off on his own.
What do you think about this Red Hood design?
I like it. You like it? I think it's cool. I think he's obviously like a young. I think he's a young Red Hood. I think.
Yeah.
I think the hood itself kind of ends abruptly on his head. And so you just see a lot of neck there.
Yeah.
Which it's not like the normal Red Hood thing, like has a thing that goes down to the neck. But I've just noticed a lot of Red Hood neck in this.
Yeah.
And I think I have always just liked the leather jacket and he doesn't have this. He just kind of has a hoodie. But I think it works in general. I like how Junie Ba draws guns, or at least these pistols. They're pretty heavy looking.
Right.
And I like this idea at how Red Hood remembers the Joker beating him up. And it's just like this crazy abstract sort of like entity of the Joker.
Yeah.
When he like was killed. I think that was pretty cool.
He kind of, when he takes off his jacket, he's kind of got like Mike Mignola shoulders. You see that?
Oh yeah, he does. That's cool.
I don't know if that's like the angle that he's
And then when he takes off his helmet, he looks like the gorillas.
Yeah, dude, he looks fucked up.
That's the most gorillas looking guy.
He's the Uggo, dude.
Well, he's been fucking beaten up by a crowbar and
actually killed
and thrown in a Lazarus pit,
basically a zombie.
And you know, you're saying he looks beat as hell.
His helmet looks more like a crotch rocket helmet, you know, like the shape of it,
a crotch rocket
like Michael helmet. Motorcycle helmet.
Oh yeah,
you know. And when I think about it like that, I like it more rather than like the form-fitting one. Yeah. You know, like this is what like a cosplay would look like, you know, because no one's head just looks like that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't get too into the merchandising aspect of it until later.
Yeah, he doesn't have the logo or anything.
Right. or a black leather jacket or whatever they were trying to do.
Yeah. Rock looks like a Samurai Jack villain to me.
Who?
The demon dude.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was
saying.
That's
the one, yeah. It's like that guy, and then you see Ra's al Ghul is like, he has this like abstract demon face sometimes.
Yeah, that's almost like a like an addition for how the girl's like telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just,
yeah, because she's telling it as like this folktale type,
right.
type beat. But yeah, this guy, for sure.
How do you think like a Wayne Sweets chocolate bar tastes like?
Probably pretty good.
Pretty good. Does that look appetizing to you?
Yeah, I hope they don't use slave labor for their chocolate.
Who's to say?
Yeah.
Probably.
It seems like it'd probably be ethically like, sourced. Do you think that's bringing in a lot of money? There's also
like artificial chocolate that's being made too, that like major candy companies are using. So
hopefully they use that. As long as it's ethically sourced. It would be kind of antithetical to, I think, Wayne Enterprises for him to take like a slave labor.
That's true. So probably pretty good.
But it probably tastes pretty good, yeah. If they could do all the other tech. I wonder, like, is candy really bringing you in that much on the
Do you see the
revenue?
The Batman Returns reference?
No.
So on next to Red Hood's like door to his apartment, it's like it says hello there, but the O's are crossed off, and then the T for there says hell here.
Oh.
That's like something that Catwoman had in her like apartment. There was like a sign that had that.
Oh, that's fun.
But then when she was Catwoman, those lights didn't work.
Gotcha.
So deep cut right here.
I don't remember that.
I watched it like last year, so I just remember that specifically. Mm. But
that's nice. Do you like Red Hood's apartment?
It looks like a good apartment, dude.
he's like the actual meme of like the before and after of like a dude's apartment, and it's just like TV on the ground and a foldable chair.
Dude, there's probably mold under that mattress.
100%.
I guess when you put a mattress on the floor, you just get mold.
I had a mattress on the floor for like 3 years. It was fine.
We also live in Arizona, so it's not really like mold as much, but
yeah, true.
Like on the floor, like.
Yeah, like the bed frame broke. So I just kind of had a bed frame around it, but it didn't have any of the slats.
Okay. So there was like it just carpet like, and then mattress on top of it.
Correct. Yeah.
Gross.
And that was fine. But then I started dating a woman and she was like, this is cringe.
Yeah. I never anticipated women caring so much about bed frames.
That's all. It's a big indicator, which it makes sense because I was that was the red flag that they were like thinking of.
I had like this cheap one from IKEA that had like the headboard or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, what the fuck do I need the headboard for?
Yeah.
So I just threw it away. And so I just had the bed frame that held the bed. But that was like a big deal.
You just had a wooden box.
And then when I was done with it and I like gave it to mom, she's like, where the fuck's the headboard? I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
Who needs one? It holds the bed.
Bed's off the ground. What more do you want?
It's got drawers, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember that.
Yeah. And so it's like, all it does is make noise when you're doing the mattress mambo.
When you're stretching on the bed.
Yeah.
When you're doing the mattress mambo.
Issue 3.
I like how green this issue is. I just wanted to say that.
What do you mean green?
There's a lot of green in this book in general, but
in the Red Hood issue.
Yeah, look, it's when they're getting
when he's getting
magics affecting them.
Oh, I guess the bird stuff too.
The bird's green. I think it's supposed to be like Lazarus. They're like connected to the Lazarus pit, and so Rock can like do demon magic on them specifically. But
what is this guy? This bird dude.
He's Rock.
So, like, this is his mouth?
Yeah.
This little white bit? Okay. Yeah. And then what is this? Is this his chin?
Dude, his demon beard.
His demon beard? Because, he gets, punched. He kind of looks like an anteater almost. Because, the beard, I guess, is all crimpled up.
You know, I think the physicality of him is a little fluid, for sure.
Yeah, and because it's, just silhouette. So, I'm like, what's the rest of this?
Yeah, he does get punched like that, doesn't he?
So a little,
maybe he's got little pinchers and he could pick stuff up with him.
Yeah. I don't know
either, but issue 3. So Damien enlists the help of Tim Drake to attend an event at the Perch, which is Oswald Cobblepot's building that is hosting an event with a bunch of evil billionaires. Tim Drake acts like Bruce Wayne's like fill-in for the event, and Damian decides to sneak around the vents of the building, and he finds a Lazarus pit somewhere in there, and Rock is there as well. But Red Robin steps in and helps him fight Rock. Rock starts throwing like caskets with the missing people that are going on around Gotham. He starts throwing them into Lazarus pit. Robin gets knocked into the pit and somehow gets transported to Ra's al Ghul's pit with his mother Talia and a bunch of like ninjas waiting for him. And my question is, does Lazarus pit teleport people?
Now it does.
It does now. It's like a fast travel spot in like a video game.
Yeah.
That's cool. I never thought of like the Lazarus pit just being in a building somewhere.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like it was like in a cave.
Yeah.
Like it was like a naturally occurring thing, not something you just move around.
Yeah, you can't just like go install one like it's a jacuzzi.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So Damian was like kind of pissed off at Tim in this because he was like networking kind of in a way.
I can't believe you're working with the billionaires. They're evil.
And I'm like, no, he's not.
Obviously,
and it doesn't even like seem like he is.
No, you're smarter than that. I mean, he comes to that realization that that's not what he's doing later.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, you know, like, this isn't the plot point that you think it is.
It didn't quite come off like that, but I guess like we're supposed to know that Damian's wrong as well.
Yeah.
So that
also, it's like it's a Robin. So what are we supposed to think that like he became friends with billionaires? He's in the pockets of Lex Luthor.
And the other ones. Isn't Red Hood like a contract killer?
Yeah.
So
I guess that's a good point. I think this Red Robin design, a little goofy.
Okay, so
just the helmet.
All right.
Everything else is really cool.
I think it's kind of fun. He reminds me of Rio.
He does look like Rio.
Or like Toucan Sam, you know.
Yeah.
I think leaning into the bird thing is kind of cool for this, and it works for Junie Boss style.
It works for this, yeah.
This is the best Red Robin design, like just like the cowl.
Of all Red Robins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he just looks like taller Robin right now, you know, like Tim Drake.
Yeah.
Like in current continuity, it's just it's boring.
He's Robin, like suit? Or does he have Red Robin?
His name is Red Robin. He's still that. He doesn't have the cowl.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
Gotcha.
He looks cool.
Does he have the wings?
It's just a cape.
Oh, that sucks.
It's very boring.
Yeah, that is boring. I like the wings.
Well, in the Batman, I think in the Batman run right now, he like quits.
Mm.
But I kind of, in like the Teen Titans run, like the New 52 one, he has like these like metal feathery looking like cape. That was kind of cool.
I remember that. But I could see that. I just kind of like the idea of him having like actual feathered wings that he's carrying around somehow.
Yeah, make him a bird. It's awesome. Guy, it's, yeah,
who cares?
But because if you don't do that, then you just have two Robins and that's boring.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
I was reading this panel to panel and, you know, we have our characters in like silhouette here and then we see like just two people fucking. Sorry, I'm trying to get this.
There are two people fucking?
No, there's two people just talking.
Yeah.
And there's like a woman right here with like her like elbow out, like, and then like a little swirl where she's got her elbow. And I thought like it was a titty out.
Because
the swirl kind of looked like a nipple in a way.
Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I didn't notice that.
And I was
that.
Like, whoa. But then like her hand is like up. And it's just kind of a thick forearm.
Yeah, this is me reading not panel to panel of missing titty slips like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a titty slip, but like.
Yeah, I know. It totally does look like one.
I thought it was for a second.
I'm trying to find that on my phone.
Page 81.
Oh, yeah, there's. Yeah. What even is that supposed to be? Is it her like.
It's her elbow.
It's her hand on her, but the perspective makes a big. Okay, I see what's going
on. Yeah, and then so I guess just to show that it's an elbow, yeah, she did first a little glance, squiggle.
First glance, that's about where the nipple would be.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Anyway.
I like this psychedelic page when Damian falls inside the Lazarus pit and he sees the man he killed and like all this stuff that's going on because he's in the Lazarus pit. I think that's cool. This one.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally. Like a very bubbly page, very fizzy.
Yeah.
This is what I imagine it's like if you were to jump into like a pool of Baja Blast. To be some shit like this.
Yeah, he does. Dude, what a if lot it of, is Baja Blast? He does a lot of cool splash pages for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he does good with this medium.
I do feel younger well. When I have a Baja Blast, so.
Yeah, imagine dipping yourself into like a jacuzzi full of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the secret sauce. Issue 4. So the hostage tells the story of Talia al Ghul, which is her working under Ra's al Ghul to one day be the heir of his empire or whatever it's called. But in this process, she meets Batman and gets pregnant and has Damian and then sends him to live in Gotham after having doubts about Ra's methodology. But now in the present, Damian fights Ra's al Ghul for a bit, and then Talia tries to step in to stop Ra's after he reveals that his plan is to put his soul into Damian's body to continue ruling now that the Lazarus Pit has stopped working on him. So he wants to like move his soul into Damian. But Damian's like, I'm not going to let you do that. And he falls off of this cliff into a void and he fights some ninjas. Talia's there too, helping him out. And in this weird void, he comes to terms with his killing of Silas, who was the thief in Gotham. And Robin commits to learning from this lesson and doing good. He wants to create a net positive overall. And then they just like find their way out of the cave. And that's that issue.
So,
but what the hell is up with these little creatures that Ra's al Ghul has? All these guys? There's like 3 characters that make up a face and a mouth. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I think that's cool as hell. But like, there's also like...
It seems almost like a committee of like the League of Shadows or whatever.
Yeah, but there's like a frog guy.
Did that scare you, Nathan?
Yeah. Or like an owl guy. I don't know. I just think it's really random. This design in general is kind of cool. Like, do they have to stay in that formation next to each other all the time?
I assume so.
Yeah. I think it's fun.
I think like it's just kind of people that are like about the cause, you know, that are powerful, I guess.
The League of Shadows or Assassins.
I mean, they're not the Assassins themselves, but did you know like Ra's al Ghul's like thing, like his like goal ultimately
to like
before this?
Not really. I don't even know what it is now.
It seems like he just kind of wants to kill everybody.
I think he just wants to rule the world.
Because he thinks like that humans just like aren't good for the planet.
Or
like also just aren't like moral creatures. So he's like, let's kill everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Because that's moral.
Yeah. And so even though they're dumb, I just like never understood any of that until like this.
Yeah. Because he writes a point where he's inflicting his morals onto Talia when she's young. And she's like, look at what they did to this tree. Or a dryad, which I think is a mythical tree or something like that.
Dryad. Tree nymph.
Tree nymph. What's a nymph?
It's like a elf kind of. Okay. Or like a spirit kind of thing.
And so I think that's supposed to be this metaphor or whatever for like, this is what the humans want for the world.
Yeah.
So we got to kill him and I'll take over.
So,
but a lot of sort of spiritual metaphor is going on, especially in this void pit. But it's very cool visually because the panel like borders himself. They like turn green or just like not existent at all. He comes to term. He like there's his nanny in the void.
Is it a nanny?
It's a nanny.
It's like a babysitter.
A babysitter. I think they call her a nanny, but
is it a woman?
Yeah. The only pal you had was your own nanny, and you let him take the fall for when you broke your grandfather's most precious vase. And so, like, he's just kind of stuck in this pit, and then Damian lights his ass on fire and like frees him.
Yeah, I think that's probably like a spirit kind of thing. Like, I don't think he's alive down there.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah. spiritually, there's stuff like he's working out in his head. Because he talks.
Did we know about him? Did we see them earlier? I don't know
who the fuck that is. We didn't see him earlier. Okay. It's just like a concept that was introduced and resolved in like three pages, which I thought was a little bit weird. Yeah. Because I think what's more interesting is him talking to Silas, the dude who he beheaded. And Silas is like, give me your body because you owe me that. And he's like, you know, I did kill you. It wasn't very chill of me, but I promise I'll do better. And, you know, paraphrasing. But Silas is like, you know what? Fine. And so there's this like whole journey of him coming to terms with it. Because he obviously, I don't think, felt guilty about it at the time. Because there's a different part of this book where Damon was reflecting, like, do I feel bad because it was a bad thing to do? Or do I feel bad because it, like, I got caught or because Batman thinks it's bad or something like that. Right. I thought there were some interesting ideas in there. But it does kind of haunt him a little bit, and he comes to terms with it here.
Do you ever watch that, like, TikTok account where there's, like, a structural engineer watching, like, movies and, like, yeah, just talking about how, like, none of it's possible or whatever?
Yeah, I don't like him.
I think the video is really funny.
I think it's funny at the beginning where it's like, Iron Man would be dead here.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Why I bring that up? Because, like, Damien's, like, hanging off this cliff or whatever.
He dies falling off this cliff.
Yeah, and then he's like, I'd rather die, and let's go. And then it's, like, blackness down there. I'm like, Damien's dead.
He falls easily 10 stories. But then he just, like, hits the ground, and he's able to fight a bunch of ninjas in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Also, how'd Talia get down there? She jumped down?
I guess maybe she knows where the stairs are. Yeah. And she has a glow stick.
She does. She came prepared.
She just came up and, like, cracked one real quick. And that's how you could see from the glow stick. Yeah, it seems that like his it. Mom had.
It seems like it.
Moms always have glow sticks for some reason.
So then issue 5. There's a quick Ra's al Ghul origin of him living a long time. And he's living through history and gaining power through different dynasties and stuff like that. But Damien is confronting Ra's al Ghul while he's also called on the other Robins to come save the tributes to the Lazarus Pit that have been collected by Rock this whole time. During this fight, Batman shows up to help, and then Talia is also there to help fight Ra's, and they get him to fall into the pit, which rapid ages him and makes him senile. I don't know why this time it rapid ages him, if this whole time it's been making him younger, even though it's not working. I don't know.
I'm sure with anything,
there's like a max.
It just like just doesn't work anymore, you know? Yeah. And then it is detrimental.
Then it has the adverse effect.
Yeah, maybe it's a metaphor, Nathan.
It probably is.
For drugs.
For vapes or something.
You think vapes will do the opposite effect?
Yeah, you'll be puffing them, and then one day you'll just turn really old.
Yeah.
But so Talia takes Ra's and assumes control of the Empire, and then everyone's like proud of Damien. But after this, Damien starts an organization of charitable Robins that help Gotham through like social work, and they kind of attack the root of the problem in the criminal stuff that's happening there. And then the hostage is freed and makes friends with even recruits the robber, and Damien was kind of like watching the whole time. So that hostage was never really in danger.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that the person that was a hostage was the child of the person that Damien killed. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to know what that conversation was.
Yeah.
Because like, he clearly knows everything that happened to Damien.
Like, why would you wear the clothes of your dad's killer? You know?
Well, he's one of the Robins that were recruited to this cause.
I think she probably.
She.
So she's wearing like a Robin shirt.
Yeah.
That's like wearing, I don't know, Michael Vick's jersey when he killed your dog.
Yeah, or something. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I want to know Damien walking up to be like, listen, because Merle clearly knows everything that's been happening to Damien. So he knows that Damien killed her dad.
It was probably a long road. He's to like, redemption. Listen,
I talked to your dad in a void pit. He was carrying his own head. He said it was fine.
I talked to his ghost.
I talked to his ghost.
He wanted my body and for a second, but
he's
I said no.
Chill. He's chill now. We're chill now. Do you want to be a Robin?
Yeah.
But that's almost a more interesting story. I wanted to know how that happens. And recruited moral to the cause.
The last issue ends with them getting out of the, like, that abyss or whatever.
Yeah.
And like the Robins are there. And then this issue starts with him fighting Roz. Like, I know we didn't need like a how do we get back up there?
Oh, hey, Robins.
It's page or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how do we get here?
Yeah. You know? It does feel like it jumps.
When did he take his shirt off? You know,
I thought him leaving the cage and seeing the Robins there was like a more metaphorical thing. And then it was like, oh, no, they're actually here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I could see that.
Dude, Batman is, he's not in silhouette anymore. This is like a reveal of what Batman looks like, but he is a stout man.
Yeah.
He's a thick dude. When you first see him, he's wide for sure.
So Roz is fighting Batman and Robin in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin like jumps towards him, but Roz takes his like cape and hood thing.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, match up with Batman. And the cape is like twisted up. I'm like, is he about to like towel snap him right now?
That'd be so good.
Yeah. He ended up doing like a little like wrap around his arm to stop him kind of thing.
He like towel snaps his butt cheek and Batman's like, he's like grabbing it.
Yeah. That would be good.
That'd be good if it was like animated as a cartoon. And then, so I like this idea of him creating a charitable organization of Robins that do like small acts of good. Is that what they did in that Robin series where there's like a bunch of Robins? We Are Robin or whatever it's called?
No.
Because you read
they
that.
They were like, they were kind of like a Robin Hood gang kind of thing. Like they were.
So they were fighting crime.
It was. Yeah, kind of. They were kind of like looking out for the little guy kind of thing. And they also didn't. It was kind of like a community of vigilantes in a way.
Okay. But they didn't encourage thieves to like go to therapy or anything?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Well, then I like this idea.
So this bird guy.
Rock.
He's Rock?
R-O-K.
The Rock?
He's the Rock.
Can you smell when the Rock's cooking?
That's a different Rock.
Oh, okay. So Brock, in this one, he's not a bird, but he's like kind of basically, he's basically his cloak from Cloak and Dagger.
Oh yeah, he does.
He lifts up his cloak or whatever and then swallows up all the weird people with the eyes and Talia.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
he's the one character in this where I'm like, does he not get any comeuppance or anything? He doesn't get any.
There's nothing resolved.
We don't learn anything about him. Does he chill with Talia being the leader now?
I guess so.
Because he rounded up all these people for Roz, clearly intending for him to do whatever magic trick he needed to do to put his soul in a Damien.
Why is he wearing a hat?
Because it looks good. Are you kidding? Look at him.
Because he's dripped out. He matches his cloak. That's why.
If I could pull off that hat, I would. So. But yeah, we don't know what Rock's deal is the whole time. He's just kind of there and then he cloaks people away.
He's new. He's kidnapping people. But I guess
no one ever fights him.
It's not his fault because he's under Roz's orders.
Yeah. He was just following orders. Mm-hmm. That's always been a good excuse. So then we'll get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
We get some character designs, which is cool. We get the character designs of all the Robins and Batgirl.
It's a really good Batgirl.
It is a good Batgirl. And I think the hair for Damian is good because I think he was experimenting with maybe doing like the Teen Titans, like spiked up and back sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what he went with.
Yeah, no, it's good.
He's also good at drawing like a whimsical Robin because we see his Dick Grayson Robin when he's got his thighs out, but he looks like he's having a good time. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So he's good with that. I'm glad that he... Oh, wait. There's this character design of Red Hood and he does have the logo on his chest.
Yeah, it's like it's on the hoodie.
It's like, I guess he went...
Yeah, he definitely noodled with it a little bit.
Yeah.
There was even like the version where he's just a Robin, you know, but
I wish I could doodle like this.
You know, I bet it's a little bit more polished than you think. Like, I don't think he just like,
well, even like this Batman design, he X'd out like this version of Batman, which is it's still kind of a fun design because of how like big his chin is and shit.
It's like if Hellboy was wearing like a cowl.
Dude, Hellboy Batman. That would be sick. But yeah, that is the book. So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I'd give it like a love it of like a birthday cake ice cream. You know, it isn't quite what I expected. I don't know what I was expecting, though. I wasn't really expecting anything. I was trying to go in like
blind.
As blind as possible. But when I get like a couple recommendations, you know, for something, then I have like, I guess, some high expectations for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it didn't quite meet that, you know, but it was like a good time. So maybe just like.
Were you expecting something more like serious?
Yeah.
Because this is like fairly lighthearted or YA.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was kind of expecting that because like I think it's just kind of branded a little.
There is a Damian Robin series that came out around the same time as like right before this one that I guess is also really good. And the artist is Gleb Melnikov. And he's really good.
Huh.
And I got the first issue of it. And people are like that too. But it's like a serious version of it.
Maybe we should have read that. But yeah, I picked the birthday cake because it does seem like YA. And, you know, I feel like I could read this with like Lucas, you know, if he like understood words. But
yeah,
because it's
like who the four Robins are and what their history is.
Yeah.
In relation to Batman.
Yeah, it's a good crash course on it. What do you rate it?
I think this is good. I like this quite a bit. And it's not that big of a read.
I felt the pages eventually if I was like trying to rush through it. But like,
yeah,
if you're pretty mellow about it, then I don't think it bothers you quite as bit because it flows well.
I give this like a pint of ice cream.
Hmm.
But at like a, not like a Cold Stone or anything, at one of those like fancy places that sell pints for some reason.
Fancy places sell pints. Okay.
And I don't know why. I think it's because I normally take those out in like two sessions and I read this in two sessions. So I think that was my idea. And I liked it. It was good.
What do you think this is rated on League of Comic Geeks?
4.2.
4.2. It got a 4.7.
Whoa, that's really, I almost said 4.4 and I'm like, that's way high.
It is way high.
Holy shit.
So I think
4.7.
I think it's in like the realm of it just being still pretty underrated, but the people who have read it have rated it pretty high, you know?
Yeah.
Because Watchmen's 4.8. So
this is right below Watchmen.
Right below Watchmen.
And we don't know who the fuck Rock is.
Yeah.
What's his deal?
So I did also see that score before reading this. So I'm like, this better blow my fucking socks off. And it didn't really.
You had a lot of expectations of this.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I do this to myself.
Are you able to just look at comics that are rated from like the 4 or 5?
No.
You can't just like.
I wish it was that easy, but it's not.
Damn it.
You.
Yeah. I want to read all the other 4.8s and compare them all to Watchmen.
I don't think there is any.
No?
Maybe like Mouse and stuff, but like.
That's a good book.
It's like the one
more than Watchmen.
It's like the ones that you know.
Yeah, probably.
You know. Nay, that's getting to the pull list. Colin,
shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What'd you get this week?
I got Green Lantern 37. Absolute Wonder Woman 21 or 22. I can't remember. And then I got Giant Robot Hellboy Returns.
Number one.
You're so excited for that. Big fan of the original Giant Robot Hellboy series.
Of course.
You're a fake fan.
I don't own it. I never said I was a fan.
You don't own it and you're not a Hellboy fan like me. Not like this guy. I don't like Hellboy that much.
I guess not.
But I like it when he's a big robot.
Yeah.
I'm in. What'd you get?
Swamp Thing 89.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4. It's weird because they put like the original numbering on it, but it's like,
but there's already other books that have that numbering, presumably because they had to replace it.
But it's the fourth issue.
Right. Okay.
I think it's the last issue of that, but I'm not sure. And I got Terminal number one.
Oh, yeah.
The new Robert Kirkman thing.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what he's doing with that.
Then just JLA Avengers number four, three, maybe.
I think it was three.
I think that's it.
Nice.
Did you read anything?
I did. It's something I bought online and read.
But I bought online. Why did you buy something online?
Because it's, I think the only way I've seen that you've been able to buy it, but it's Arca by Van Jensen and Jesse Lonergan.
I thought it was like a digital version.
No.
I was like, what are you grabbing?
I bought this off of Jesse Lonergan's Etsy site.
Oh, cool.
And so I bought this and I bought his like panda delivery service book, which is, I think, just him having fun with a bunch of panda sketches. But he technically did make a comic book out of it. I haven't read it yet because I only read this week.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool. He signed it.
Whoa.
Well, he gave me this. He said, hi, Nathan. Thanks for picking up these up. And he gave me an ad for Drum.
Whoa.
So I think he doesn't know that I fucking fuck with Drum. But yeah, look, he signed it. He drew a little rocket ship.
So cool.
Yeah. So shout out to Jesse Lonergan. He's the best. This is fine.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think story-wise, it's fine. Jesse Lonergan...
I know why you bought it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesse Lonergan's fucking awesome in it, but I don't think this Van Jensen dude set himself up to have an awesome Jesse Lonergan story.
Yeah.
You know?
It seems like only Jesse Lonergan can do that, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I much prefer him when he writes and draws his own stuff. And like sometimes... You know,
but now you can't get rid of it because you got the signatures.
Well, I still like this. It has a twist in there that I like genuinely didn't see coming. And I like some of the characters.
Yeah.
But it's basically like a drama about people on the Arca, which is like supposed to be representative of like Noah's Ark, because Earth is all fucked and billionaires funded this big ship to go. It's basically like WALL-E, except the billionaires are the citizen class. And then there's people that are from the age that they can work until they're about 18. They are servants and they do all the chores like around the ship. And then when they turn 18, they go off somewhere. No one knows what happens to them. And it's like shit. Like it's basically just a class conscious commentary thing with like a little bit of mystery in there. And so I think that itself isn't as cosmic and weird as I think Jesse Lonergan can do.
Yeah.
But then I think about when Jesse Lonergan did Faster, and it's just like a race car book.
Yeah.
And even that's like way cooler than I think this, but that's him writing and drawing himself.
Cause that's like, but this art forward storytelling.
Correct. You know? But this is no like Hedra, I would say.
Right.
But it is more of a free flowing, just kind of drama series that I think is solid. I just prefer Jesse Lonergan in other places. So,
right.
Which is probably why he's advertising Drum. Cause he's like, we like this shit.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. But anyway, that was cool. I just wanted to show you that I got that.
Nice.
What'd you read?
I read She-Hulk number 5 and 6 of Dan Slott's run. That's like ends like the first trade. And I think it ends in a good place. You know?
Cool.
I'm going to keep going with that as just kind of like a onesie twosie kind of book that I read. Just because I'm trying to go through that omnibus. There were like parts in the trade where I'm just like, I don't know if I like this, like just run in general.
Mm-hmm.
But the last couple issues I really like the art on. There's like a different artist. Cool. And, you know, good quips and stuff like that. And then I read Faceless in the Family.
Oh my God. I've been wanting to read that.
You know about this?
I know about Matt Lesniewski.
Matt Lesniewski.
Yeah, Matt Lesniewski.
Lesniewski?
Lesniewski, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just been seeing this.
Yeah.
Occasionally, and it looks awesome.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever bought someone's book based off of Twitter, but he's one of the first.
He's so cool.
Pretty cool, dude.
I didn't realize it was black and white. That's cool.
Yeah, and they like tease you with like a Dave Stewart colored like cover.
You know? They really do.
And then I think there's like a sequel series that's coming out right now ish. I don't know if that's colored or not, but it's pretty cool. The
trippy.
The story's like okay. You know, you read it for the art.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very dense or anything, so it's a pretty quick read. It's like that kind of art where like sometimes you have to like kind of like turn your head and like to kind of understand what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Not because it's like bad art, but you just kind of, it's not going
to
be,
it's a bit to process
predictable looking poses and stuff. And mm-hmm. like everything proportionate is like wrong, yeah. but consistent.
There's some bold creative choices it looks like in there.
Totally. And it seems like it took a long time, you know, because you're just like, jeez,
I worry about that sometimes.
It's like so it's like chaotic in like the most like organized way,
mm-hmm.
you know. You can borrow that if you want, but it's what it's good. I mean, it seems like
was it a quick read?
Yeah, you could probably knock it out in like a sitting.
Cool.
It kind of looked like, it kind of felt like I was looking at a cartoon that was like paused, you know, like as if like an old timey kind of cartoon with how like wonky people are like posed and whatnot.
Like you pause it during like a stretch frame. You know what that is?
What?
It's when like a character is turning from like one side to the other side and they do like a stretch
thing. Not like that. Oh, no, okay. But like. I really don't know how to describe it.
Yeah, he's kind of a league of his own. He's very somewhat Trad Moore looking.
Yeah, yeah, I see that. They definitely seem like they're like cousins.
Trad Moore and...
Ian Bertram?
Ian Bertram, yeah. You knew where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Cool. I will check it out. I don't know if it'll be next week, but...
No rush. Yeah, I think we should tighten up the episode. No, not... talk about like TV shows and movies. Yeah, who cares?
Who gives a shit about
it's
that?
It's a comic podcast. Yeah, we're just talking about comics.
And you should see The Odyssey. It's pretty awesome.
I'm just kidding.
It's pretty awesome.
You want to tell me about it?
No. I want you to see it.
You don't want me to see it?
I want you to see it, but I will say I was watching this movie and I was like, if Sophie doesn't like this movie, I don't know what I'll do. That was a thought that I had.
Wow.
I was like, this is so cool and I don't think that I hope that she appreciates it at least. And then we talked about it after the fact for like 30 minutes. I don't know if we've ever done that before.
Wow. You never talked to her for 30 minutes?
Not 30 minutes. We'll talk about it for like 10 minutes and be like, this was kind of interesting. This was kind of fun. But this is like, we're talking about themes and shit in there.
Mm.
And we have like disagreements about certain parts of the movie.
Mm.
It's cool. It's a very complex movie and I think it's very good and you should just watch it.
Was Travis Scott kind of jarring to see?
Dude, I don't know what that dude looks like because I didn't know that he was in this movie.
Black guy.
I know he's a black guy, but there's other black guys in this movie.
The black poet? Is he like a poet guy?
I understand now that he's... I know what is...
So it wasn't jarring seeing him because you just didn't know what he looked like.
I thought his song was just at the end and that's what people were making fun of. I didn't know that he was in this movie.
Did they play like...
It's like
sicko mode or something at the end.
They play sicko mode and during the credits when they stab the Cyclops in the eye, they start playing sicko mode. No,
that'd be so fucking funny.
No, I guess like I've seen the video of him like apologizing, and that gets memed on a lot. It's like all black and white. He's like, I feel so bad or whatever.
I don't think I've seen that.
What?
No,
it was when someone died at his concert.
Yeah.
And he like apologizes and he like fake cries and it's like very bare minimum. But he has like long hair in this. And so it's just different hair than what I'm used to him having for hair.
Okay. Yeah.
And I just don't look at that man very much. So it wasn't jarring to me, but I guess it was for a lot of people.
Hmm.
The thing that was a jump scare was John Leguizamo is in this. And I didn't know that.
Really? Oh, yeah. Nice.
And I'm like, holy shit. But it's great. I think it's top two Nolan movie. I don't know if it's top one yet. I have
top
to sit on
two.
It. And I will say this is also the first movie I've seen with Sophia where she's like, we have to see that again.
Whoa.
In theaters. And so we're going to see it in IMAX as soon as we can. But
oh, okay.
But like, she wants to see it. She wants
the first time in theaters?
No, we want to. Yeah, we watched it on our phone. no, but she wants to see it in IMAX and so do I. So
mm.
I was going to wait until I saw it on IMAX, but I could tell that I was gonna, there's going to be a lot of spoilery stuff online. Even though it's like the Odyssey, you can't spoil the Odyssey. You can spoil some shit in this movie.
Yeah, like you spoil
like what shit looks like.
How they do stuff.
What shit looks like and what's going on in the thing and certain performances.
Do these people
and,
like feel like gods or like is it just kind of people talking?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah. It's yes or no question.
They don't feel like gods.
Okay, so it's just people talking, but that's Poseidon or whatever.
You don't see Poseidon.
Do you see Zeus?
No.
Okay. All right. So it's really kind of more like through Odysseus's point of view.
It's what Odysseus is fucking doing.
Okay.
But I think, even though I don't know if this is my favorite Nolan movie, I think there's some of my favorite scenes that he's ever done in this.
Uh-huh.
And very bold what he's doing. And then sometimes they'd be filming like a ship and I'm like, how they get the IMAX camera over there where they got it filmed? Because they're like over the boat in the middle of the fucking ocean. I'm like, where'd they put the IMAX camera for this one?
Yeah. Have you seen that bitch?
The IMAX camera?
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks fucking ginormous.
It's like 300, 400 pounds.
I know. And then they're just filling a boat in the middle of the ocean. And sometimes they're on the boat. And I'm like, do they put the camera on the boat?
Crane on another boat.
I guess so. But it's like, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's cool though. And it's just respectable and interesting to see. Because you know this is a man with just unlimited resources making whatever the fuck he wants to make. And that's kind of cool. Like, he doesn't have to make any
concessions. It always seemed like a stretch. I'm like, can you do it, you know?
Nah, he fucking did it. I will say at the beginning, I was like, I don't know if I like this.
Really? Okay.
And then knocked me on my ass. So, that's cool.
Did you just, like, not like the beginning? Like, you currently still don't like the beginning? Or you just didn't, like, get it at first?
I don't like the pacing of the beginning.
Okay. So going back, you're not looking forward to the beginning?
No.
Okay.
And I will just say I thought it was just IMAX editing or something. And I'm like, is this whole movie going to be like this? Because it's all shot in IMAX? Like, I didn't know what was going on in there.
Yeah, it's kind of bullshit. Because, like, there's not that many IMAX screens, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And the one that we have is, I guess, one of the only for real IMAX screens.
Oh, really?
Because it's like analog IMAX 70mm. And there's only like 90 in the world. And one's in a shitty mall.
There's more than I thought of, but
90 in the world. I think there's only like a few dozen in America.
Mm.
And it's just right. In one of our shittiest malls in Arizona.
You can't move it.
So. Yeah, you can't move it.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to like walk through the mall to get to it. You right. Know? You just kind of get it.
But it is cool learning about film. Like, I'm not gonna act like I could teach you about it, but I like seeing the videos about.
You've seen stuff in IMAX, right?
Yeah, we saw The Creator.
Oh, I think. Yeah, that was sick.
God, I love that movie. That movie's actually underrated.
So good. Okay, I mean, I get to it eventually. I'll probably see Spider-Man before I see this, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just get to it, man. It's good. So. Did you watch anything else?
I think I'll wait till I'm like on a plane or something.
Yeah. The true experience.
I think I'll just watch it on my phone while I'm
working. Watch it on my. I'm gonna get an iPod Shuffle and download it and watch it on there.
I can see if I can watch it on my Apple Watch.
That'd be awesome.
Can you do that?
I'm gonna watch it on my phone, but I'll have it be a picture in picture while I'm scrolling Twitter.
Yeah. Or like have it on like YouTube, and then you can just kind of minimize it to where it's in the corner.
Yeah.
I didn't watch anything. I've been watching like Housewives, like. Kind of against my will, mm-hmm. But yeah, we just had like a lot of shit this weekend, so like
yeah, it was busy.
There wasn't Sarah randomly putting on a movie, and I want to say I was doing a lot of reading, but I wasn't, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. Sometimes there's on and off weeks.
Yeah,
we played Mecha Chameleon.
Would you say
we played Mecha Chameleon?
Is it Mecha?
Yeah, it's like that's the yeah, it's M-E-C-C-H-A.
Yeah, that H they just snuck in there.
I think it's because it's Japanese. I had to like look.
Yeah, I think it.
And it just means very chameleon.
But very chameleon? Like, I thought Mecha meant like chameleon. So the game's called Chameleon, I think.
I think it doesn't mean that.
But yeah, that was cool. It's a fun game.
It was fun.
I guess I would have watched something if I
Mecha is a casual Japanese intensifier meaning very, extremely, or super.
Okay, super chameleon.
Good game.
Yeah, what's that thing, the mandala effect? Not H yeah. is a mandala effect.
It really is. It seems like it should just be two C's.
Maybe I'm just used to people typing out Mecha Chameleon on like as like a wrong. Hashtag on TikTok or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that game's like really scary when you're like a painter or whatever, because it does not feel like you have like enough time.
No.
And I like, with it being like your first time or my first time playing it, I'm like, I don't know this map. I don't know where a good spot is. Like, mm-hmm. I remember a couple clips or whatever where I'm like, I can steal this or whatever.
You did good.
I think the ones I did good, I stole.
You did good with the ones that you stole, though. When you don't have to focus on where to go, you did good blending in.
Yeah, and I think I picked spots like too quickly, you know, but yeah. I don't think the hunters spawn where we spawn, so that I think that kind of would help. Mm-hmm. But
there was one where you were putting marble on like a marbling effect on it. Was that on the horse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was hard. That was cool, though.
You did good.
Yeah, I did pretty good. And the most annoying part was just the movement of it.
Yeah. Like, it's very clunky.
Because it seemed like people were able to just float wherever they wanted, but it seemed like you have to be up against an object to climb it.
You have to be up. Yeah, you do.
So I'm like, how do people get on the fucking ceiling, you know? And so, and then also just kind of.
Yeah, that I'm not sure, actually.
I've never done a PC game, so the movement is just kind of foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, when you're trying to get to, like, a very specific spot to line up kind of, like, your outline with whatever's on the wall. And then there's an aspect of it where you can partially go inside of stuff.
And that's not allowed.
But, like, it kind of is.
Oh, but sometimes it can be if you don't do it that much.
Yeah, if you do it too, you can overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pretty good.
It was cool to play with you. I liked telling people that we might play with Daniel, and they're like, what? Wait, really?
Yeah. I didn't realize like how simple it was to like hop on, you know?
Yeah.
Like $6 game, then get on Discord or whatever.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. If you do it again, let me know. But
okay. I did play it one more time. It was just like super late at night.
And it was the next day, wasn't it?
It was when we saw the Odyssey, which was on Saturday. Was that the next day? Because we played on Friday, didn't we? Yeah, it was the next day.
Yeah.
But what am I going to text you? We started at 11.
Oh, no, I was in bed.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like...
But I had a...
I was in my mind, I'm like, I'm at my desk. I'm like, don't get on. And it was like, I don't even know how to check if you're online. But I feel like I would have found out.
You can check on Discord if people are like doing something.
Maybe.
But I had a run where someone was like feet away staring right at me and they couldn't see me, and I felt very good.
Oh dude, I was on the back of someone, of like, I was like the tailgate of like a truck,
dude. Yeah, you and fucked you, me up.
You like motorboated my guy.
I did.
Before, and then I jumped over me.
I couldn't believe
you were looking under the truck.
I was looking under the truck and you were just above where I was like looking. You're looking at like
I was moving a lot because I didn't like my spot. Dude, but you never saw, and you kept coming back to my corner. I'm like,
I was looking at the spot that I had before, which was like kind of under the bed part of the truck.
Yeah, I thought,
and like behind the license plate, and I was like, maybe someone just drew in the license plate. And so I went to go look at the license plate, but I never thought to look like literally inches above that.
There's this like indent line that's like kind of yellow on the back. And I was trying to recreate that. Yeah. But I like kind of moved, but I moved too much. So yeah. It was just completely off.
Yeah.
You know, but no one was just like looking at
me. You still diced me. I still was dumbfounded I think
Ro got me eventually, but like the amount of points I got from you guys just looking straight at me, you know?
It's such a good feeling. You're like,
yeah,
it's cool.
And then I saw everyone else's. I'm like, these are way better.
And you're like, I'm an artist.
I felt like fucking like PETA in like the Hunger Games, you know?
When I play the game, I'm like the Pink Panther. Remember when they're like the wallpaper?
Yeah.
And they're doing this. That's what I feel like.
Dude, I guess the Pink Panther today in that movie, like, oh, game that we played. Dude,
if it's ever the Pink Panther, I don't think I'd get
it. Straight up comedy, and then it was older than Sausage Party. They're like, Pink Panther.
Maybe. That was your second?
That was my second guess.
That's crazy.
You remember that movie?
Yeah.
So good.
It is good.
Anyway, what are we reading next week, Devin?
What are we gonna read next week?
Are we doing an Eisner winner?
No.
Potentially?
I forgot about those. Now we're going to do Ice Cream Man, Volume 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because Ice Cream Man, the movie.
Ice Cream Man, not because of that.
Not, it's not the comic book adaptation of that.
I don't know what you're talking about. We're not promoting a movie at all.
We're not promoting any movie. We should celebrate comics. Go buy a comic,
yeah,
everybody.
I'm down celebrating one of the best horror comics out there right now.
Yeah, exactly.
We always do number volume one, but it's anthology, so it's okay. So we're doing volume
two. Like barely anything. I'm down.
Rena's coming back.
Oh, she is.
It's going to be great.
Sick.
So we got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe, check out, or email in tradewearspod@gmail.com. Did I say that?
No.
No.
That was your first time saying that this episode.
Okay. Tell us.
You're not going crazy. Tell us, what's your favorite Robin series?
What's your favorite Robin series?
There's a few now.
I guess by the time this comes out, the Eisners would have won. Tell us what Eisner winners to do.
Who got, what's it called when someone that obviously should have won?
Oh, snuffed?
Got snuffed?
Or snubbed?
Snubbed. Snuff is sexual, isn't it?
Snuff?
Like a snuff film? Isn't that a thing?
Isn't a snuff film like something that's like...
It's like a sexy thing.
I thought that meant like it was like maybe low budget or something.
Oh, maybe.
Or like short. Look it up.
Okay, well.
We don't want to leave people questions.
Snuff. No, not Snuffleupagus. Why did it autocorrect to that?
Oh, I see that. Snuff film?
A snuff film, snuff movie, or snuff video is a type of film oftentimes defined as being produced for profit or financial gain that shows scenes of actual homicide. What?
Whoa.
Oh, we're way off. I'm put on a list
we're
for sure.
Class. Give an example.
Well, there's
best
like a
snuff films IMDb list.
The snuff film industry is real, and this is how it works. Video essay.
There's a movie called Snuff.
That's crazy.
It's number one on this list.
Whoa. What a rabbit hole.
Nine Inch Nails music video.
There's a snuff? That's snuff?
It's a music video called Broken, and I guess that's it's on this list of snuff film.
Snuff, more like that's enough.
Yeah, dude. I wish
that's enough of that.
I don't like to think that that's a real thing.
That's not a real. That shouldn't be real.
Anyway. All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.